call meeting order. Wellington Local School District Board of Education, July 18, 2019. Special meeting. Roll call, please.
Carolyn Huber.
Here.
Thomas Sibley.
Here.
Karen Humphries.
Here.
Scott Mason.
Here.
Mark Ryan.
Here. Okay, go right into the agenda for the special meeting.
All right. First thing, you have an envelope in front of you. That's our semi-annual bullying report that I have to give to the board. So that's a document that we always put together for it. It's that time of the year. So we want to start you off with a discussion on our breakfast and lunch prices and how that kind of process works. And this is more Ms. Sutton's forte than mine as far as dealing with Ms. Cole. So I was going to ask her to kind of chat with you a little bit about that and kind of what our thoughts are on moving forward.
Sure, sure. So every year there's an audit done by the state as you close out the year, and they match it with the reimbursable price of a lunch based on our participation in the National School Lunch Program. And they match our lunches sold with the cost of, you know, what it costs to actually make the lunch, what it costs us. And they've recommended every year that we have an increase, and we have not done that because we have not increased every year. Because we're very empathetic to our community, and to pass, if we can absorb those increases and not harm the bottom line, then our philosophy has been to do that. This year, though, however, it's been 2 years since we've seen an increase, and they are insisting that we increase our lunch prices. They run everything through a formula, of course, like any other federally funded program, and they have recommended a 34% increase, and then 10 cents every year for the next several years. We are saying, no, that's, you know, let's not do that. That would be a lot to absorb for our community. What about a quarter? Could we do it a quarter? And they thought, yes. They also suggested that we raise our breakfast prices, and we've opted not to do that. And I'll remind everybody that we're offering free breakfast to all the elementaries, which I think is a fantastic benefit for our students. But we will have to look at raising our breakfast prices in the next coming years. But Mrs. Cole and I are going to try to work with Mr. Jones and try to create some sort of trend data so we can try to predict what we think these increases would be sooner than the audit, so we can prepare our community for those increases if we would have to make them sooner than July of every year.
So on your agenda tonight, we do have, I think I put this in the update sometime along the way, that the recommendation tonight is going to be a 25 cent increase for the lunches across the district.
Okay. And that actually would put us right in line with all the Stark County schools in districts that are like us.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys spent any time looking at that document I sent to you, but it's good information just to kind of see where we fall compared to other districts. So, any questions or comments for Ms. Sutton on that?
Do we know how many kids are taking advantage of the breakfast that the middle school and high school?
Yeah, I can tell, like in totality, I can tell you how many are paid, how many of our lunches are paid. So,
are we talking breakfast or
breakfast?
How about breakfast, Ms. Sutton?
Oh, in breakfast, that? I would have to get that information from Mrs. Cole. I don't think I have
information.
I have lunch.
Question a different way. The breakfast, we're being reimbursed from the state?
Yeah, we're reimbursed for both.
Okay, so
if a student qualifies.
If the breakfast is free across the board, and we don't have a big use at the high school and the middle school, why are we not increasing that price? If we're going to be reimbursed for it anyhow.
My personal thought was, we're going to increase lunch prices, we're going to increase Lashke by a dollar. And to me, I thought breakfast as well for middle school and high school folks might be kind of tough, all one big swoop.
Okay.
Well, that's why I just wondered how many
was
that. Both, are we talking a large number, a small number?
No, it's just kind of hitting everybody all one time. So, but I think what Ms. Sutton's saying is next year, breakfast is definitely going to go up.
Okay.
We just need to kind of calculate cents quarter, whatever.
The older the child, typically the less they participate in the program.
Okay.
How many are eligible at rough numbers at the elementary schools? Is it a large percentage because we're giving it to everybody?
So it's based on our economically disadvantaged number. So right now we are over 40% in a couple of our buildings and just shy of 40% in a couple of our buildings. Our overall district average is about 43. Of course, that fluctuates year to year, but we're at about 43. It's increased quite a bit.
So just because we're offering it doesn't mean we might, how many would you guess take advantage of it at the elementary schools?
Oh, breakfast or lunch?
Breakfast.
Breakfast? I can't give that number, but I can find out for you how many.
Just curious. We're offering across the board. I'm just curious as how many actually take advantage.
Hopefully with it being free and everybody, because I think some of it is some kids are, I don't know what the term is, but maybe a little shy or embarrassed about them getting a free breakfast, maybe when other kids are paying, you know.
My kids aren't.
And that's good.
I think it is.
I would not ask to run in there and get your breakfast and get it. I would not. But maybe for some other kids that could be an issue. So to me, if you kind of level that playing field on the haves and the have-nots, maybe now more of those kids are, but that's my hope, and more kids are going to be encouraged. Oh, hey, we're all getting free breakfast. Let's just go in there and grab it. We're good to go. You know, there's.
Well, I just, like, just as an example, my kids might once a week or once a month or twice a month might just, hey, I'm going to get breakfast at school because it's free.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not our, you know, they don't make it a regular thing. Okay.
Anything else for Ms. Sutner?
What's the purpose behind them requiring us the price increase?
It's based on reimbursable meal price. So as the price of food goes up, price of commodities goes up, price goes up for lunches.
Right, but you said up to this point we have been paying out of our own local share monies or general fund monies. So what would prohibit us from continuing to do that if that's what we chose to do?
It would weigh down our balance, our cash balance, very, very fast, and we can't get into a negative balance.
Caroline, it's the food service fund is self-sustaining, it's self-sufficient. So we're not doing any general fund paying for food service, if that makes sense. This is looking at lunches sold, looking at the cost of lunches, running it through a formula, looking at what you're charging. They compare it with data, I think, all across the state is how this formula works. And they say, okay, based on where you are and the cost, we're recommending X increase. You don't have to do it.
Okay.
But the problem is then if you start running a negative balance in your food service, your general fund will then, what you're saying is we're okay with that, we're going to have the general fund pick that up, essentially.
But in the past, you said we've had enough money.
Yeah, I can tell you the past 3 years for sure. I've probably looked at data prior to that.
Okay.
But yeah, past 3 years, it's been self-sufficient. If you want history, we could.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Well, if I can add to that, I know going back at least 7-8 years when we've done this sort of thing in the past, it's always been in the black. And even offering the free lunches or the free breakfast, it's never put a dent or, you know, it's never caused us to run in the red.
Anybody good?
All right.
Thank you. Summer projects update. So we got a lot going on. Every summer, I think it's going to get a little quieter. Well, that hasn't been happening, but this is all good stuff. So let me just kind of fire away here. So first item I have is high school air conditioning window project. So the air conditioning units are on site, and there's a big social media blitz over that, which was awesome. People saw them coming off the truck, which was good. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that and then get into windows. And I am going to need a decision on moving forward with windows tonight. Okay, I know we haven't had a building and grounds meeting in a while and some conversation, but we got to kind of narrow this thing down tonight. But let me talk to you about the AC. So as you know, we hired PlugSmart to serve as a consortium, and they have done all the bidding protocol procedures for us, which speeds the process up, number one, which is good, but also number two, gives Marlington and basically me the opportunity to make sure local people are getting a shot at these bids. So the first place we started to get the equipment was with Mr. Robertson right down the street. Okay, Scott's been a loyal follower and supporter of Marlington. So obviously we went to him, and he's able to get some really good deals on at cost type equipment, which was was awesome. So staying true to that local, you know, flavor, Scott, that's where they bought all of the air conditioning units. And then I asked Plug Smart, I said, you guys know this world better than I do. I said, I want Stark County people in the mix here when it comes to who's going to do this work. So between people like Scott and people like Plug Smart and other vendors that do this for a living, the basic criteria was this. These companies have to have capacity, which means bodies, to do the work, and they want experience, people who have done these mini splits. And I totally get this because, you know, Plug Smart's on the hook here. They got to make sure that they come up with. So between those different groups of people, three Stark County companies were said, hey, give us a bid. RT Hampton, Standard, and Crown. And if you're in that world of HVAC, all three of those companies are at the top of the line, which was good. There was another company from the Youngstown area that Plug Smart worked with that they got a bid in from them as well. So Scott Seifert from Crown Heating and Plumbing emailed us back and said, sorry, we're not interested, we're not going to put a bid in, which was fine. Darren Miller from Standard did the same thing. We're not interested in putting a bid in on the job, and that was fine too. RT Hampton, who has done work with us here at this middle school, who I was very excited to see, they jumped in here and they put a bid in. So I told some of you at the table this past week was my best week of vacation, but it's the most work I ever did while on vacation. And this was why, because we had to get this all settled. And RT Hampton got the job. So once again, very excited, Stark County people, Stark County flavor. Darren Elliott is the man that we have been talking to and dealing with. And like I said, he worked with us here at the middle school, great company. RT Hampton is doing the same job at North Canton. They just walked off the site 2 weeks ago. So this is perfect. He's just going to take that crew, and they're going to come. They're actually going to be here on Monday at 9:30 for what I call a kickoff meeting with me and a couple of other folks to kind of get this thing up and running. But very excited that we got local folks, Robertson's Equipment, Hampton Inn as the contractor to get this work done. Okay? So like I said, on Monday, they're going to go at it, starting to hang the mini splits in the rooms, getting those things done first, going around the district and the buildings there at the high school, and then going up on top, start putting the bigger units up there. Okay? Now, what I got to talk to you about are the windows.
Can I ask a question on
sure.
the air conditioning before we move forward?
Yeah.
So we, on the contractors, we just received one bid on that, is
two.
What you're telling me?
One from Gulf and one from Hampton. Correct.
Galt.
Yeah, they were the only ones that put bids in.
Okay, so you have two bids, and that's
correct.
All we're required to have is two bids.
Mm-hmm.
And on Robertson's side of providing the equipment, how
yes.
many bids did you receive on that?
Two there as well.
And who was the other one?
It's Habegger, Habegger.
And that meets the competitive bid specs, or we don't have to.
Once again, what we do with this consortium, we are not bound by the competitive bid laws as other projects. When we work with this group as a consortium, we play by a different set of rules, like we've talked about in the past.
Right. So there's no competitive bidding that comes into the equation at all, not even choosing Plug Smart. There was no competitive bidding, like to choose them as the consortium or anything like that?
Plug Smart, no, that was up to us as a district to select them initially, yes.
Then how do we, I mean, the cost was established when you established a contract with them.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know we have the best cost and the best everything in play?
In for what areas, I guess?
For everything. I mean, you approved the total cost when you approved the bid with PlugSmart, right?
Right, we said like $1.3 million.
Right.
That was their estimate that the job won't go over that dollar amount based on their experience, body of work, the units that needed to be purchased, number of classrooms, et cetera. That's
okay.
what they laid out for us. Correct.
Okay. So how do we know if we're not using the competitive bid process that that's the best way to go? I mean,
with PlugSmart?
With the whole project. I mean, how do you know that's the best way to go?
Well, consortium was initially a bid, and we just joined it to be.
Well,
we
joined a consortium to
which
select PlugSmart to
which does the bidding process.
Yeah, they what's the word I'm looking for, Ryan? And I'll screen it, but they, I don't know what the term is.
Who's they?
The consortium. When a consortium selects companies like PlugSmart and other ones, I don't know, it's not a screening process.
No, yeah, they have to go through a formal process. Yeah. I think they call it an RFQ. It may not be an RFP, but there's a process there that they have to show and meet certain specifications and qualifications to be admitted into that consortium, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Would this be similar to what we do with the school buses? We're part of a consortium to buy school buses?
Right. This would be a little bit different because I believe they have put in specifications, qualifications to do essentially a certain type of work involving energy projects, and that's what this consortium is about.
It's more like the roof when we dealt with Tremco, same situation.
It's similar to that project.
Deficiency
equipment. Yep. Does that make sense, Carolyn?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what. I mean, I can see the big advantages. It's less work on you because you just...
Yeah, they do all the work.
They do all the work.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to determine how do we know that's the best cost, the best products, the best...
Well, you look at the people who put the bids in. I mean, these guys have done this work. Like I said, they just did it down the street in North Cannes, so mm-hmm. that's when they project that dollar amount. They have a pretty good idea of what it's going to look like. And that's when, obviously, I was glad we had a couple of numbers there because it would have been a little disappointing if only one company would have jumped in. You know, at least when you look, we had two people, and we see what those numbers are, we know at least that they're competitive in that area. And the best part about this thing is Marlington has the final say in who we select.
And you can choose them whether they're higher or lower?
Correct.
Is that it?
Correct. We are not stuck by the low bid. That's absolutely correct. Yeah, when you do some of that competitive bidding, you're stuck by some of those guidelines. We are not. Like if they would have said, hey, we want to pick a company, and I'll just pick one like Galt, and I wanted Hampton, I could tell PlugSmart, no, Ronta has a final say. They could keep giving us ones, and I could keep saying no. Now, they're not going to do that, and obviously we're going to work together. But that's one of the nice things about our contract that we had, is we had some final say. And, you know, and those guys understand we want local people, and we want good folks to help us. But that's just, if you got into a real problem with that, basically, we kind of hold the cards on that one.
Did we look at different consortiums or different ways to do this, or how did you...
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways, but basically, I kind of stole a model from North Canton, to be very honest with you. I mean, this is exactly what North Canton did, same type of project, same type of mini-splits. I mean, to me, it kind of made sense to kind of follow along with their game plan. I didn't want to recreate the wheel. And we've got a good relationship with PlugSmart already. I mean, they did the Hospital 264 project. You know, and to me, relationships and trust, confidence in people, you know, say what you mean what you say, goes a long way for me. So, I mean, there's other companies that do that work, trust me. But to me, you know, when Ryan and I were chatting about it, I got confidence in PlugSmart. So that's the company I wanted to do business
with. Well, and didn't we had some of this discussion in the spring, I know in April or May, because we had a time frame with the board that wanted to get this done before the fall school date. And so you're under the gun. If we had gone through the formalized bidding process, there's no way this would have...
No, it would have taken a couple of
days. We would be looking at next year.
Will that happen then? Will it be done before the first day of school?
No way. No.
So then what? Are they not allowed to work while...
They'll work afternoons and nights and weekends.
Yep.
No, I mean they're going to be, you know, you guys didn't approve it till June, whatever, at graduation June 3rd. They had to put a couple weeks to get the bids in. You know, we had to wait for that, and we're at where we're at now. So, I mean, I would hope they're done.
Do we have a time frame?
They do. Substantial completion date is October 18th.
Mm-hmm. Do we dictate which room they start in?
We don't dictate, but we actually met today, and we're going to talk about that more on Monday. What I asked Al to do is take a look at where the custodians have kind of already completed some areas, and if there's areas they haven't completed, maybe start in there, you know, so we don't make messes and kind of get in the way of one another. So we're going to chat about that on Monday, see where that lands.
Let me get them to start in the band room.
That was my recommendation, actually. Ryan will... We'll tell you that.
And then the ones
because they're the first ones that are in. So yeah. I'm thinking about that hallway and then working their way down. But, you know, let's say for some reason the custodian said, you know what, we haven't touched, or we've done that area, it's already clean, and the 300 hallway has not been done. You know, they might decide to start down there.
Okay.
But they're willing to work with us, which is good. Am I jumping ahead by asking about electrical, or do you want to? No, keep going, that's fine.
So electrical.
I can't forget about windows, don't let me walk away without talking about it.
So the electrical is underway, completed?
No, no, it's been here, it's been engineered, and they got more than they bid off initially. It's not good. So, what'd they say, Ryan? He's going to be back next week, hopefully for another walkthrough, to take a look at what needs to be done. But our electrics, and I mean, we knew we were in a bad way, but we're in a bad way.
Well, that's included in the bid, right?
Firm.
I mean, they wouldn't have known what our electric situation was before they bid the project, right?
Well, yeah, they didn't go in depth as they are now. I mean, they were counting receptacles now. They got their hands full.
But this will be at their cost, it will be within our total bid.
If it goes over 1.3, it's their cost.
Yeah, it's the one, that is the benefit of this sort of contract, Carolyn.
Yeah.
That's the max price we will pay, so if they run into other issues and problems, then it's on them to absorb those costs past that point.
You would have to think that that is what influenced maybe the two companies also to say, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are other factors.
It's possible.
You would think that that would possibly have something to do with that.
That's possible. But like I said, Hampton's the ones that just walking off the site, so I think they probably have the best idea of what's going on. You know,
they're the ones that did the North.
They're ones that did North Canada. Yeah.
Now we have a separate contractor coming in to do the electrical, or this is being handled by
Smart. This is somebody different.
Okay.
Is it First Energy, Ryan? Is that who we work with? Is it First Energy?
I'm not sure if he mentioned today exactly who that was.
Yeah.
I think we got that piece of information.
Okay. But they have to come on and take a look at what we have and go from there. Because obviously nothing turns on until we get that piece of the puzzle done.
So with the October 18th substantial completion date, that includes electrical and AC.
Correct. Does not include windows.
Right.
Because obviously we haven't ordered windows yet because we're talking right now. Okay, so is everybody good on that, on the AC kind of piece of it? Let me transition here.
Yep.
Okay, so we had a dollar amount for windows, if you remember. Okay. The windows do not include blinds. You know how you have windows and you got a little thing you can turn?
Yeah.
And if you remember along our office areas, we put those in a couple of years ago in that project. You know, so you don't have the big bulky things like we have there. You just turn the button and it does. Our windows do not have them as we sit here today. Okay, that was not part of the bid. All right. So I went back through that again, and I sat down, and I talked to Will, and I said, man, I said, those are pretty handy and pretty nice. I said, can we talk about what it would take to dollar-wise to get blinds in all the windows that we're doing? Now, remember, the front side is already done. Okay, here we're looking.
These blinds are within the windows.
They're within. So. Yeah, maybe I'm not explaining it right, but I think there's a little bottom turn thing you kind of turn, and it just kind of closes it down. Really, they're nice, and for the ladies over in the office, they're very handy, and I know Karen probably worked in there and saw some of that in action. But I want to talk to you today because we're ordering these on Monday because windows are ornery. There's a 6 to 8 week lead time for these things. They're custom made, custom whatever. So Mondays is, I said, I'm not talking to you guys till Thursday, so we're going to place the order on Monday. Okay, so what I want to give is a couple numbers here. To put blinds in the windows that we're purchasing, it's $115,322. $115,322. And they make these at the factory, the blinds come in, they come on the site, they install them. Now, well, let me keep going. To me, the biggest area that needs these are the courtyard, okay? Because that sun comes whipping in there in the morning. This is like our chemistry room, science rooms. It gets real hot quick. The courtyard only, okay, $73,000. Now, my first question to Will is this, okay, can we just put the windows in and come back another year and put the blinds in? He said, sure you can, but you're gonna pay for it. They come on site, have to install the blinds in the windows, and it's gonna be costly. I'm not gonna lie to you, it can be done. But it's going to cost us more money to do that later on down the road. because I know we had talked about, you know, where we are financially, what's a good number, what's not a good number, that type of thing. And I'll be honest with you, when I was talking to Will, I said don't put the blinds in for that reason, because I know we were looking at the dollars, and the AC was kind of more important to me than the windows, but just kind of going back at it and looking at it, I at least wanted to talk to you all and get your input on kind of where to go from that. So $115,322 to put blinds in all the windows we're buying, $73,000, I think it was $234, something like that, for the courtyard, which I was a little surprised.
What's the cost of the windows without the blinds?
$539,546.
It was 500-some thousand, but that's not what came in on the bid.
What came in on the bid?
That number was what it was estimated at originally. The bid number was $389,000. So if you want to go down that road, what I would tell you is the bid came under the estimate. Now, I can't guarantee the top end price though. Does that make sense? I can't guarantee that. Okay, I don't know if we're going to fall below. I don't want to say that today. So you know, say $400,000 if you just want to round up.
504. Do blinds with your current estimate, right?
Take 389 plus 115. That was the difference.
504, 322.
504.
Okay.
Don't these windows already have, didn't we order them with like sun filtering
Say that
glass?
Again. What's that?
What's the glass like in these windows? It doesn't filter out any heat or sun rays or anything?
It does. Yeah. It does. But it's.
It's UV.
It's not
visible.
Like, do the same thing as what the blinds would do.
Not tinted.
Yeah.
So it's going to do the same thing. You said it would do the same thing as the blinds, or it would not?
No, I don't know if you've seen the ones we have in front of the high school down by the secretary. I mean, it's a game changer. Yeah. It's good. Well, what do y'all think? I hate to put you under the microscope here, but we got a
security.
Well, security is always important, and that does come in handy. Out of sight, out of mind when it comes to an intruder. I would concur with that assessment.
Unless the intruder's in and puts the blinds down, then you
can
see.
If it's a different ballgame, I'll take it from the outside in. Yeah. You know, like the courtyard probably ain't going to do you any good because you know, the government's in the courtyard. Odds of that happening are slim to none, but,
yeah, but
some of the other perimeter areas.
We could potentially use that courtyard if we had blinds and windows that actually shut.
Good. You know, but you work your way around this end, you know, where you have the engineering lab and go back in a little cubby hole and then come back out with a band and choir. There's definitely some merit to those areas. And that's, I remember north, we didn't have any windows at all on north side, so that's irrelevant. But on the south side, that's a good point.
What was the initial estimate? For the
window? 539, 546.
Yeah, there was a window, 539 to, I had 573. I don't know if I'm reading that wrong.
Max,
yeah.
Yeah, 573, 267.
Yeah.
So what is the actual? It was 573 was the initial bid?
No. What the question was is initially when they put the project together, what dollar amount did they budget for windows? And on the low end, it was 539 to 570 is what budgeted.
And now we're saying with the blinds, we're talking 504.
Correct. Which is less than.
Still under the initial estimate.
Yeah.
But you said you couldn't guarantee that. Why not?
No, what I said is I can't guarantee that there's going to be cost savings on the top end of this. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. You're going to tell me, oh, Miss, no, you're going to save $100,000. No, I'm not saying that. In the windows, we might. But not overall project wise. I don't want to say something that's not accurate. Total budget. Does that make sense?
So let me make sure I understand. You're saying right now the total budget's 1.3, but
correct.
If we add the blinds in, then it's going to increase to 1.4.
No. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is the budget now is 1.3.
If we chose to do blinds, that would be included in the 1.3.
No, blinds are not in there.
Okay.
So you get 1.3 lumen up here as the max. If we choose to go over the max, that's on Marlington, okay? So, because right now it kind of sounds good, not going to lie to you, it sounds good. Hey, we can go 504, we kind of estimated 540, that sounds good. you could save some money there, but on the back end of this, let's say this electrical thing gets crazy and cost another $100,000, okay? You just maybe lost some of your savings on the windows now, in theory.
So we're not locked in on each of these projects? They don't have the air conditioning at one price and the windows at another?
They guesstimated, if you remember, there was a minimum and a maximum dollar amount, is what they did. The only guarantee is 1.3, like the treasurer said.
But when they did it initially, lines weren't part of the project?
No, nope. That's what I'm saying. So now you're bringing in another intangible, basically.
Right, change order, right.
It's a CO. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, it's a change order.
Okay.
But if we do it now, we can get them down to factory, we can get them here and go. Or like I said, you could wait 2 or 3 more years.
What's the warranty on the blinds if something happens inside the window?
That's a good question. I don't know that answer. I'll find out.
Well, my gut reaction is just do the blinds. All the windows.
I just do all the windows.
Okay. Okay. You do it now. There's reason enough to have them. You wouldn't have the exterior, the separate component of the blinds outside the window.
You mean like those brown things?
Right.
Yeah. No. That. Yeah. You don't need that anymore.
You have to have a way to darken the room to use the technology.
Yeah.
Our overhead projectors and TVs.
Right.
That is how most teachers teach, and they can't do it if the room is illuminated completely.
Why wasn't it in the original estimate then?
Well, because I was concerned. Well, we have blinds like that. We have blinds. They're not real pretty at times, but we have them. But
and they become damaged.
Yeah.
Can we use
over time?
Are they that bad in the high school currently that
no,
we just
no.
scrap them?
No, they're okay. Some are good. The engineering room ones are a little rough, but some other classrooms, they're decent. Yeah. I mean, like if you close that, there's like 5 or 6. Mike, I don't know if you can shut that one, but if you do, sometimes you run into problems where there's like 5 or 6 that aren't there anymore. You know.
They break.
Yeah. See how you got. I mean, that's just kind of what happens over time. But you can clean that up, fix that up if you want. You know, I'm not sure how much that stuff costs either, to be honest with you.
Is there any benefit to waiting, since there's already 6 to 8 week lead time, waiting till next spring to start the project?
You could.
Then do it through the winter?
Well, the only problem is we're already committed to the winter project. We're already signed a contract and we're in. We're getting windows. It's either with blinds or without. Right now, they're without. You can wait till next spring to put them in, the blinds, but you're going to pay more.
I'm not talking about the blinds, I'm talking about the windows in general.
No, the windows are in. That was part of the contract that we agreed to.
I don't think you can put a price on security.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, the only downside I see to not putting the blinds in there is the cost. And down the road, things do break.
Mm-hmm.
So. But there's probably more upside to it. You were talking about renovating the high school. No, this is a this is something that's along those lines of upgrading the windows, getting rid of the old blinds, making it curb feel. Is a big
and our windows are pitiful. Honest be very blunt. They're terrible. They are. Yeah. Well, where y'all leaning?
The other question, is there an installation issue to take the blinds down, install the windows, and put them back up? There's a cost associated with that if you're just installing the windows, you just rip them out because we're getting rid of them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And repair what you break as you put it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just thinking of that in mind.
Yeah.
I look at this like, you buy a new car, you put new floor mats in it, you don't pull the floor mats out of the old car and put them into the new car.
Yeah.
It makes sense if we're doing the windows to either do interior, new, these blinds,
right.
or the enclosed blinds.
Right.
So you need a consensus, right?
I'm sorry to do that to you guys, but I need some direction here.
I'd say move forward.
Okay.
Put the blinds in.
Yeah, I'm okay. Head shaking. Ms. Gaber, what are you thinking? Anybody else? Jump
something?
I'd say go for it.
Ms. Gary, what are you thinking? I'm sorry, I know you're...
You're gonna motion, I'm assuming, at some point. Do we need a motion now to determine? You take a motion now, so...
Do we need a formal motion on that one? Coach, I...
I mean, I don't know exactly if it's, you know, amending the contract or not, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would think, because we have a contract for a set price.
Okay.
If you're gonna potentially do that.
Okay.
I would think you'd need some documentation.
Okay.
Formal action.
So we would need a motion?
Do you want a motion?
Well, I think that's what Ryan's saying, maybe just to make sure we got all covered.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second the motion.
We're gonna do verbally then?
Tom made the first for, to add blinds, I'll second it.
Do you wanna do it in the regular meeting? Do you wanna do it here?
Did we announce we were gonna take board action in the special meeting when you put the notice out?
No, so we gotta do it in the regular meeting. You could do it there.
Because of what?
Yeah.
Why's that?
All we have in our special meeting is these discussion items.
Okay.
No action.
Withdraw the motion. Save it for later. All right. So over to high school, you saw the canopy come down, finally, we got that down. Big eyesore, which is a good thing. We're working on some really cool landscaping. Our Mr. Lamacus has been out there with his kids and some of us. I was in charge of demo day, which was awesome. Chainsaw about 10 trees later. It was a good morning.
Did they let you run a chainsaw?
Yeah, they did. I told everybody that it was every man for himself. But nobody got hurt and then got broke, so it was a good day. We're also moving forward with our special ed bathroom in the high school. Now that we're saying, hey, this building is staying, we never had a bathroom in our high school MD classroom, which has been a shame, but now we're moving forward. So we're hopefully actually starting next week with LPH coming in, who's the plumbing workforce. And it's not a real big job, to be honest with you, but it's a nice addition to that classroom, just having a bathroom in there. So we'll be working on that next week as well.
What's the estimated cost of that?
$32,000.
And that's all through LPH plumbing, you said?
No, LPH does the plumbing.
Okay.
And final thing is right above your head here, middle school roof. All right, so we did, I wasn't here last Friday, but Mr. Jones was part of a pre-final walkthrough. Is that what they called it? What'd they call it again?
I don't know, some jargon that made no sense to me.
Yeah.
Pre-final inspection walkthrough.
There you go. So they went up on the roof, took a look. Okay, long story short. So the guy in charge, Mr. Metz, found three substantial issues on the roof, which were not serious. So that was good news. There were some areas where, to be very honest with you, it's not the same color. Okay? Now, I call that aesthetically pleasing. Now, is that a crisis? Not really. But if you remember, they had a coating on last, you know, then the winter time and now. But it should be, to me, one nice sheet of white. All right? So I put my two cents in. I just didn't really like it, to be honest with you. So they took that $100. One major issue, which doesn't have anything to do with the roof, unfortunately, they're in the roof, is on the south side of the building above the locker rooms and gym. We have the gym roof, and then it comes down to, like, the basic school roof. We have, I think, two units there, Ryan, right? Two units, and there's water pooling in there. And it's been pooling probably forever. Well, the new roof job isn't sitting very well in there. Okay, so it's not acceptable. So I talked to Brad today, and basically he outlined kind of what their next steps are. They are going to resurface the entire roof for me, all within a couple of days, make sure it's all the same nice white color, which I appreciate. I think that's above and beyond, but they want us to have a good roof. I said for a good roof, we need that. So it doesn't really do anything to the structure or the format. It's just going to make it look good, but I think that's important. They're also going to come in at their cost and put a drain in that back area to get that water out of there for us, which I appreciate as well. Was the problem there before they came? Yep, it was. But I think in a good faith effort, they're going to foot the bill to do that. So actually, Hampton's coming in on Monday, actually, and they're going to walk up there and take a look at what a drain's going to have to do and how they're going to get it done. So they will do that first. get the drain in, work on that part of the roof, and then they're gonna come back, hopefully with a good team of people, with WTI, Tremco people here as well, and hopefully knock off a brand new coated roof in, you know, 3 or 4 good work days. So that's where we're at on that. I mean, actually, it's in pretty good shape after all this time, finally.
So then we are still going after them for breach of contract where the completion date wasn't met, or we are not?
We are.
Okay.
Liquidated damages.
Have we paid out more than what our original contract was?
And we're almost $1.5 million was the contract, $1.496 million, and we have spent about $1.220 million. Carolyn, we have about $280,000, and they have not billed us in a long time because they're,
and rightly so.
And rightly so, because I wouldn't pay it because of the issues we've had. And then there's a factor of what he's saying of liquidated damages, and
yeah.
We are going to enforce whatever we can enforce, is what I'll tell you, and that's going to, I think, eventually wind up between the legal counsel we have and theirs, probably at some point, to try to hash that out. But yeah.
All right.
I can say pretty confidently that we probably won't reach 1.496 as a cost because of those damages. It'll be less than that.
I think they threw the rough drain in for mental health and wellness of the superintendent, I think, at this point. So, but that's good. All right, that's it. That's a lot of stuff. Sorry, I went a little long there. We got a lot of activities there. So, we're going to go to a executive session and talk about our evaluations. And we're going to add another little part here that Mr. Ryan will go over. I need to talk to you about another issue here.
Is there any public participation before we get into that?
I have no forms, anybody?
Anybody? All right, so. Okay. Need a motion to enter an executive session in accordance with ORC 121.22 to discuss the appointment, employment, dismissal, and compensation of a public employee and to discuss a regulated individual.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Carolyn Gilbert?
Yes.
Ms. Hipley?
Yes.
Karen Humphrey?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes. I have 6:14. Ryan?
Yep.
You just want to stay in here today? Or do you want to go out? You want us to move? Okay.
Yeah, we can go.
Let's do it. We'll go kind of back that same way.
Yeah.
All right. We don't have any more. There's no other discussion. We'll just adjourn when we come out.
Yeah.
We're going to adjourn when we come out of executive session. We should be done by 6:45.